I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday. It is 10 a.m., which means I'm here with the man, Ant, 49ers Cutback. So glad to be here. How we doing, Ant?
We're doing great. We're finally getting past all the film breakdown. Like, all that's kind of behind, and we've made our full assumptions now. We understand what we've seen, and now it's kind of like I'm still working on that because I know it has to transition to the Rams, and you got to make these adjustments that are going to work. But for the most part, I'm ready to get to the point where we can have a victory. And so that way we can kind of leave this Vikings game behind, because this was not the funnest game to break down. And I think you probably feel the same way. It's like there's so many times you're like, ooh, why? You know, and that part just really frustrating.
Oh, man. I was going through defensive tapes just on third down, like rewatching it, and which is terrible. And like, I just got to apologize to the universe. Me and Nick Sorensen's relationship, which is completely one-sided, right? It's going through some turmoil right now, and I want to believe in Nick Sorensen, and I hope that he turns it around, and I hope things get really, really good, and he's the best defensive coordinator we've ever had. But I'll be honest with you right now. Like, I didn't feel this way about Wilkes last year. I don't think I was ever this mad. Like, and that's weird. Like, I get it. He's never called defense before, whatever else. But I'm already to the point where I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, is this salvageable? And I know it is. I'm overreacting, and that's kind of what happens. But I'm just like, oh man. Yeah. Kenneth, my man, he says, yeah, that game was so weird. It was weird. It was weird. And so we're going to dive into that. So this show, you know, and we've done a handful of shows together now, obviously the drafts and whatever else. And so we're trying to figure out kind of where this goes. And I think we're getting a little bit of a foothold. You know, Ant's coached for a long time. I coached for a long time. And so what can we bring that's unique slash different to the 49ers space and the 49ers community? And I think we want to focus on coach adjustments, coaches, things that we do. So today's episode, it's going to be kind of two-part. One, what are some things that the film showed us that maybe we missed during the live broadcast, or I was at the game, whatever, like things that the coach's tape told us that we weren't expecting. And then two, the second part of the show, What are two coaching adjustments we both want moving forward going into week three? So a little bit of one foot in the past, one foot in the future, which I think is a healthy thing. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing today. If you guys have some comments, questions, as always, throw those in the chat. And yeah, we've been tasking the community to come up with a name. Shout out to Sean Mosquito Killer. He says, did we come up with a name yet? So here's what we did. We're down to two name options. And I'm sorry if your name wasn't picked, but we love you. We love you, even if you suggested one. So thank you. We're down to the 49ers coach approach or 49ers coaches chant, right? The chant thing is Chapman plus Ant, right? Chant. So that one kind of goes, whatever. I started a Twitter poll. This is the place to vote. YouTube polls are just always a mess. Whenever I do one, I get like 10 emails. I can't vote on the poll. So I just put it on Twitter. Go to JL at JL underscore Chapman. It's my whatever. Links in the description of the video here. And vote on it. So we're going to leave that up. Got to let you know, it's not looking great so far. Coach approach has 88% of the vote to start off early, Ant. So that's kind of where we're at there.
Yeah, domination right now by a coach approach. If you want something different, you got to vote. If not, it's going to be coach approach. And I'll be honest, I like it. I mean, I think it's right. Either one of these things work. It's we're coaches. We're going to come from that kind of eye view. And so it's all good.
That's what's up. So hopefully nobody gets upset over that. But we are a direct democracy. So every vote, whichever one gets the most votes wins. We got 24 hours. We're not a representative. We are a direct. So you got to get over there and you got to vote and hit that like button. Thank you, 49ers throwback, as always. Sean's already says definitely 49ers coach approach. That's what's up. All right. All right. I like it. So let's see here. I already got to block people in the chat. Goodness, we got bots in here. I don't like bots. That's okay. Shade, shout out to Arizona Faithful. All the hashtag CCs, all the hashtag TCCs. I love it, man. You guys are the best. So let's go ahead and get started, man. We're going to start with Ant. He's the man. I always learn more from him than I do almost anybody else out there. What is one of the things that you kind of took away as a surprise or maybe like, after watching the tape, that you didn't recognize live from the Vikings game week two?
I think I realized they were running line stunts in the game. I did not realize they were running so many line stunts in this football game. The defensive line was consistently all over the place, and it just didn't work. And I know that last year the big talking point was Steve Wilks doesn't run any line stunts, and that was true. He very rarely ran them, and he just let his four guys go and get a straight pass rush. But I thought this week there was just too much. They peppered the gumbo just a little bit too much with this. And so I wasn't a huge fan of that. And I think it didn't really yield any results. So I thought that was something that was very telling to me. I think they need to find a happy medium. It doesn't need to go back to no line stunts, and it doesn't need to be this aggressive. I think they need to kind of taper it back a little bit and just find a good rhythm that they can run it occasionally and catch the offensive line off balance. I would love to see more Ettore Gross Matos on the inside when you're going to do those types of things and use his athleticism. But I thought it caught them a couple of times and they lost outside integrity too, so Darnold could get around the outside and get at least extra space or extra yards. So that was something I noticed right off watching it back on the All-22.
Man, it's funny because that was one of my adjustments moving forward is stop. Stop it. And I love the Southern, like you put the pepper, the gumbo too much. Like that rings home for me being in the South, but I like spicy gumbo. So I'm like, come on, bring the pepper on. But yeah, it was terrible. And one of the things is certain players are good at stunts. Certain players aren't. Leonard Floyd is terrible. He was on the ground on half of his stunts. Like he doesn't mix it up with the big dudes. That's not his thing. He has been an edge bender his entire career, everywhere he's gone. Let that dude, he's been a stand-up outside linebacker. Now you got him stunting against guards and centers. It didn't work, man. It was terrible. It one of Leonard Floyd's worst games of his entire career. Stand that dude up on the outside, let him set the edge. It was just like, okay. And shout out to, I forget who it was. Okay, here we go. Josh DeBoe of AP. He put out there, the 49ers have allowed opponents to convert 8 of 11 third and 7 plus conversions so far this year. 8 of 11. That's 72.7%. Third and long conversions the 49ers defense is allowing. The rest of the NFL, their average, 22%. We are 3 times worse than the average. Small sample size. I completely understand that. But whenever we keep going back to this, you know, cover four palms coverage with both defensive sides stunting, and it's just like, oh, third and long, double stunt, cover four. Double stunt, cover four. And it's just like, it ain't working, man. It ain't working. And so, like, you've got to adjust. We went through this process, too, with Robert Saleh. I don't know. You remember the first couple of years with Saleh? And it was just like he refused to make first half adjustments no matter what. He just would not do it. We're getting beat by zone read or whatever. Doesn't matter. We go into halftime. We'll clean it up then. We're just going to take our lumps till then. Sorensen didn't make adjustments. At halftime, I didn't feel like he really made adjustments. The one thing that he did change is he tried to get more corners on Justin Jefferson. Hashtag, come on, man. Don't be a dummy. Like, don't do that. We literally, on the second play of the game, we're in zone coverage. Nick Bosa covered Justin Jefferson in a zone drop. I'm not exaggerating. That's in your play call? Like, Nick Bosa got the stop, though. I will say that, forced a third and short. So, I'm with you, Ant. I don't like the stunts. What about the coverages? And, you know, this wasn't one of my ones, but let's talk about it. We are playing 33% of our defensive snaps in cover one. That's a single high safety. Do you like that? I mean, we're doing it the fifth highest rate in the NFL right now. I don't like that. We have slow safeties. It's not like we have 4-3, 4-4 guys back there. This is a problem that I have that I'm just like, why are we running cover one all the time?
I think they're looking at their defense, and I think they're finally really comfortable with their cornerback play. And so they're trying to take away the middle of the field. You see a lot of times they're running the robber. They got the guy in the middle of the field, and they're trying to take away those deep crossers and things like that. And I think they're putting the onus on Charvarius Ward and Diamondre Lenore. And you know what? I like putting the onus on those two guys. They're really good. And so I think that's what they've been trying to do. Last year, Steve Wilks, he started from the outside and let everything filter in. This is going back to D'Amico Ryan's philosophy of taking away the middle and forcing everything outside. And I think that's what they're trying to do. But right now, they're not getting the consistent safety play. Sometimes Malik Mustafa, sometimes George Odom. They just didn't flow to the ball. They weren't reading their zone. They played an area instead of playing a man in the area. And I think that's a problem. So I think there's a lot of things they're trying to iron out and work out. But I think this could be one of those situations where you're looking at your talent and you're thinking, oh, they can handle one thing and maybe it's not the best for them. And I think they're figuring that out as they go through the games. But you brought up third down earlier. I don't think we've seen the exotic looks that I was expecting to see with Brandon Staley coming into the fold. The looks that they were going to give to at least give the idea that they were going to bring pressure. And we just haven't seen it. It hasn't looked 49er-esque. I know it took D'Amico Ryans a few weeks to figure it out. Maybe that's the same thing for Sorensen and Staley. But they've got to figure something out because getting off the field on third down is going to be pivotal moving forward. You can't be giving up 60% on third down. That's ridiculous.
We're at 72%.
So they got to get a lot better.
Oh, you're talking overall. Sorry.
Overall.
You are correct. Yeah. We're actually better against third and short than we are third and long. Like when it's third and three, we're safe. And the entire design of the defense forced third and long so we could rush the passer. And when the phrase is always used, pin your ear back and go get them. We don't do that. We don't do that. Now, two of the sacks that Nick Bosa got were ones where he pinned his ear back and bent the edge, but it's like all the anyway. Let's go to Fred. Let's bring Fred Warner into this conversation. Here's what he said in his presser about how they got to clean up third downs.
No, I got to watch it. I got to see it. And you mentioned it, especially on that last drive. We had every opportunity to go take the game back, give the ball back to the offense, and have a chance to win the game. It's not good enough. I think that's back-to-back weeks where we're not playing good enough on third down. We got to clean it up.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams one passing yard. Every week in September, that's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you can combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week one. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams one pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Have you ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible with all the rules, all the regulations, and it's just confusing. I remember the first time I coached my son's little league team whenever he was 5 years old, I got gray hairs immediately. So I know many of you guys have young kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews. It doesn't matter that you want to share your football experience with. Well, Future Fans is a brand that helps little kids become big football fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. And the way Future Fans teaches, it's so unique and effective. They introduce the concepts of the sport in a way that the kid will understand. Think of a beanbag toss game for teaching first downs. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's genius and it works. You go read the reviews, you'll see for yourself. So if you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99, and if you use our code RUSHRUSH at futurefans.com to get 10% off, unlock a lifetime of memories with your kid in your life starting now. Trust me, it'd be worth it.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Got to clean it up. And when Johnny Dale's in the chat, we're always excited. He says, too many times trying to show zone, then run man rather than man. Yeah, show man, run zone. Because whenever you are guessing that and you're showing Zan, then you go, you're showing zone, then you go man, and you don't have one of your elite corners matched up with Justin Jefferson or Naylor, who's super quick, you're going to be in trouble. But I do want to say, you know, I felt after coming away from the tape, there are three great defenders on this team. Obviously, Fred Warner's best player in the NFL currently. Nick Bosa, he's so consistent against the run. Pass rush, quit stunting him. Let him just blitz. And then D'Amador Lenore. I thought Demo was the one guy who was consistent. He was manned up with Justin Jefferson on one of those third and longs. Handled it completely. Is there anybody else that you would put into that category that are like through 2 weeks of this season that are kind of like good to great or elite or however you want to phrase that? Because I think it's just three guys.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that was consistent enough coming from week one to week two. I think if we came out of just week one, we probably would have put other guys amongst that list because other guys played really well. Guys like Malik Collins, I thought he played good enough to be kind of considered really good. But I thought this week kind of brought it down a little bit. Consistency, yep, not quite there. So right now, I think it's just the big three. And that's unfortunate because Charvarius Ward week one was phenomenal. They didn't even throw at him. They just didn't even try it. Where this week, he lost the outside. He was as a force defender. That wasn't great. It just wasn't a good look. He had the blown coverage down in the red zone. So to me, Charvarius Ward's got to step it up because he should be one of those guys we mention amongst the top defenders and a guy that's good to great every single week.
Yeah, I didn't think Charvarius Ward really had a good game. Terrible in run perimeter defense, and it just wasn't good. Really wasn't good. So, all right, 49ers throwback. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. I want to turn this one over to Nick first. Worried or not worried? Actually, we're going to adjust this. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you got to move on, 1 being he's the best DC in the NFL, where would you rate your confidence meter in Nick Sorensen after two games. And I know we're not trying to be like the hot button fire, whatever. That's all we're saying. But let's just have this conversation.
I think it's five. You know what I mean? I think it's right in the middle right now. I think we've seen good things. We've seen bad things. I think he's getting a feel for what offenses are going to do against his defense, because as much as you can look at what has happened in the past, every year there's a fresh look on how to attack your defense. Every year you've got new personnel that are not just adjusting to your defense, but you're trying to adjust to them as well. You have to figure out what they do well and then tailor your defense or your offense, depending on which side of the ball you're on, to fit what you're doing. And I think there's a feeling out process right now. And I thought that Brandon Staley was going to kind of bring this along a little bit quicker because of his experience. But it seems like Minnesota threw some things at him that they weren't expecting. And I think Brandon Staley's really good at playing percentages. And I think sometimes that can burn you if the play doesn't go exactly right. So 49ers got to make sure Nick Sorensen figures it out. But I think he will. This is a guy that played in the NFL for a while. He played under multiple defensive coordinators. He has a feel for football in general. And I think he'll figure it out. But yeah, it definitely took a step back after this Vikings game.
Yeah, I would have said whenever I walked out of the stadium, I probably would have said a five. But going through the defensive tape, I'm going to bump it up to like a six, maybe six and a half. And this is the perfect litmus test. You're playing against literally the worst offensive personnel group in the NFL. Matt Stafford's great. I understand that. They have a good running back. But they have no deep weapons. Like, what beat the 49ers against the Vikings? Speed, speed, speed. Justin Jefferson, Naylor, we were torched by them. Cover one gets beat by speed. Now you're playing DeMarcus Robinson, Jordan Whittington. Tutu Atwell has speed, but I think he's played like 12 snaps through two games. Like, you're not playing against burners. So if this game against the Rams week three, you're not in a hostile environment. You have the majority of fans there. And Rams do pump noise into their stadium, though, below 15 seconds of the play clock. I will always swear by that. I've been to too many games at SoFi, which I like SoFi, but whatever. They cheat. If he goes out there and has another performance, the defense against this offense, the Rams, that's going to go into – it's going to get bad quick. So this is a get-right game, and I love this setup because it's like, look, this is the lowest common denominator you're going to go against, Nick Sorensen. And on top of that, not only are you playing against a bad team that's 0-2, can't get anything going, missing four out of five offensive line starters, missing their best two pass catchers, all those things, you're getting back at all-pro safety, which cost you. Safety play killed us against the Vikings and Talanoa Hufanga. So shout out to Crew 51. He says, Hufanga's coming back. How will this fix the secondary? Ant, I want to let you go. Then I want to chip in too. What difference will Hufanga make?
Well, I think first off, he knows where he's supposed to be and when he's supposed to be there, which is always one of the keys for any coach, is knowing that your guy's going to get there. But I also think that communication is going to be a lot better with Talanoa Hufanga on the field. That's one thing that him coming in as a young player that he picked up from Fred Warner, and I think Deshaun Gibson helped him even more kind of refine that, is the communication and the over-communication, making sure everyone knows what their assignments are. You can never say enough. Make sure everyone's going to be in the right place at the right time. Hufanga does that. Then you throw in his pre-snap reads. I mean, this guy is elite. There's a reason he intercepted a ball against the Rams and took it to the house on a screen, because he recognized the concept and knew where they were going with the football before they do it. That can catch you if you're not willing to have the eyes that will reveal things post-snap that are different. But I think Hufanga is going to be huge for this team. The instincts are through the roof. And now everyone can kind of settle in as Hufanga takes over back to that leadership role in the back end. So now we have Fred Warner up front with that front, and then we have Talanoa Hufanga on the back end. I think that should stabilize the secondary a lot and get some things done. Plus, you just add the playmaking ability, and now we've added another playmaker. Fred Warner, he's been doing it all. The guy's fantastic. But now he's got a little bit of help with Hufanga, who can battle him for most turnovers created, and that's always a good thing to have in your secondary.
Yeah, and the playmaking, like, that was kind of the issue, is you got Fred Warner out there by himself just generating these freakish turnovers that make no sense and overcoming so much poor play in front of him. Now that you're adding another game breaker, remember you had that pick six against the Rams and all this stuff, like, instead of giving up the 97-yard touchdown, longest touchdown in the history of the 49ers organization allowed, maybe you could get some of those more sacks, fumbles, interceptions, any of those things. So that's huge for me, just the playmaking ability that Hufanga brings, the consistent playmaking ability. And 40 yards throwback. He says, I don't know, John. Third down was an issue last year. It was. We allowed 40% third down conversions last year, which was like in the 20s. I think it was like 24, 25th. Not good last year. Now we're allowing 60%. There's a big difference. We are 31st in the NFL. 40%, 60% is different. And a small sample size, so hopefully it gets back to that. But how sad is it that we're hoping it gets back to what it was last year when it was bad last year? Like, that's kind of my take is like, ah, yeah, it just kind of stinks. You know what I mean? Vicky, what's up, Vicky? She says, I second that. Communication is key. We did have some miscommunications week one. And you know what? This is another issue I have. Renardo Green got some snaps in there, which I really liked. Malik Mustafa got some snaps in there, which I really liked. Those are positives. Here's my issue. Renardo Green goes into the game, first play ever in the NFL, and he is manned up with Justin Jefferson on his first snap in the league? Like, are you sure about that? Like, are we sure that's what we wanted to do? That was the call. It was a dime package, and Isaac Yadam's like, dude, no, no, like trying to get him away, and Renardo's like, dude, these are my rules, and Yadam's like, all right, bro, have fun, and then he switches over, did a decent job, but it was like, ooh, are we putting these kids in situations to succeed? Malik Mustafa, first play in the game, single high safety, which I'm not saying that's not his role, but it was just like literally the play after a 97-yard touchdown, you put him in and tell him single high safety. I'm not sure that's the way to bring these players in. It didn't cost us either time, but it sure as hell could have.
I mean, that's one of the issues is trying to figure out how to put your personnel in the best situation to be successful. And it's not as easy sometimes as just, hey, let's just roll them out there. This is one thing that Kyle deals with on the offensive side a lot is when you have a player go down like a Christian McCaffrey or Deebo Samuel, you're not just filling the hole with somebody else. And now you have to change your approach. I think that's what Nick Sorensen has to figure out is who do we have to change the approach with? And so when you get certain players out there, they're not carbon copies. You can't just insert one guy and expect them to play the same way someone else does. They have strengths and they have weaknesses. What can I do to tailor this defense to play to my players' strengths while limiting their weaknesses? And that's what's tough because you got 11 guys who have different strengths and weaknesses, and you have to try to tailor your defense the best way to stop the offense all the while protecting your players. Because there's no perfect player. And so you're just trying to mitigate problems. And that's what he's figuring out right now. And you're right. Those aren't great situations. Let's not put Renardo Green one-on-one with the best wide receiver in football. And that's what he did. But maybe you go in there and you tell him next time, hey, Renardo, if you got Justin, let's switch you. Let's put somebody else on. You go to the other side. I mean, those are easy fixes. And I think that's something they can do moving forward.
Could you imagine Justin Sever? Like, really? This like coach, like, hey, come get your boy. Like, and Renardo, like, he stepped up to the task, and even in college, he was at his best playing against the best. So maybe Renardo's like, let me get him, coach. Let me go get him. But I respect that. He is that type of personality and whatever. And it's just like, all right, man. I mean, you coached it. Do you like go out there and put your guy in that's never played against the best player in the NFL at that position? Like,
no,
absolutely. I just was laughing. I was watching. I was like, no, that's not true. Wait a second. What? What are we doing? And Yadam's like, no, bro, get out, get out. anyway, it's what it is. And I'm not trying to say get rid of a DC. Please don't take it as that. That's not what either of us are saying. I'm just saying it hasn't gone well to start. Now, the Rams, you got your get back game, your get right game. I'm excited about that. Now, I can't believe this. I put in the asterisk. I put in a little extra one that I wanted to talk about. And I left O-line. I was like, Ant's going to go O-line. He's going to go O-line. What were your thoughts on Colton McKivitz live versus Colton McKivitz when you went through the tape?
I thought Colton McKivitz live, I thought he was really good when it came to run blocking. In fact, I thought overall the 49ers offensive line was pretty effective. There were your occasional misses. Aaron Banks had a big miss down at the goal line. But I thought Colton McKivitz did pretty good. He was, I mean, there's a couple plays where he whipped his body around and got in front of a defender, playing that steering wheel with his hands and just whipping those hips. It was very good. I thought that still on the film, watching the game film back, I still thought he did a pretty good job considering what he was going against. Grenard's not an easy matchup. Plus, you have all the different looks you're going to deal with Minnesota. Who's coming? Who's not? Six guys at the line of scrimmage sometimes. I thought he handled himself pretty well. I thought he was effective and not near the player that, you know, we think that he's, you know, that people have been painting him to be. I thought he's been pretty good through two games, and I was excited about where he could go forward. Does he still give up some pressure sometimes? Yes. Does he still look bad sometimes? Yes. But there's enough really good play in there that you're excited about where he could go moving forward because he's gotten a lot better since last year.
Yeah, and, you know, he had the second highest run blocking grade on the team next to Trent Williams. And, man, you look at the biggest runs of the day were all right off of his rear end. Biggest runs of the game were off of Colton McKivitz on the right side, not the left side. He is playing some really, really good football right now. Now, is he amazing? Blah, 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 blah. He's PFF's 20th overall tackle, which I think is great. But, again, like what you pay for a player matters. That matters. And I think that he has performed. I think he's played his best football of his career so far. Is it great? Is it Pro Bowl level? No. But, like, I'm telling you, if you could sign up right now and get Colton McKivitz level play through these 2 weeks and replicate that the rest of the season, everybody in the 49ers coaching staff would say, done. We'll take that in a heartbeat. Yeah, he's giving up pressures. He's not giving up quarterback hits. He's not giving up sacks. At least this last game he wasn't. So that's one of the ones that kind of stood out to me. And do you have another one that kind of changed, or have we kind of touched on them?
I think that it's still the experience of Jake Brendel. There are moments where I see Jake Brendel get to the second level and make a block, and I'm like, yes, that's exactly why Jake Brendel is the center of the 49ers, because of the athletic ability and the ability to get on somebody on the second level. And then there's times that I see him on the ground, and it's like, dude, how did you get there? Like, you never want to be an offensive lineman on your back. And I've seen it back-to-back weeks, which is frustrating. So I think there's so much that there's good and there's just so much bad right now with Jake Brendel. And I'm wondering when we're going to get to consistency. And I don't know if that's a possibility with him. Maybe he's still rounding into form, because I don't think at times he looks like he did last year even. And so I'm wondering when we're going to get a Jake Brendel that's more consistent. And I think that that's one thing that I'm really concerned about moving forward, because I think Trent's going to right the ship, right? It was just a decent outing for him. It wasn't really great, which we're used to seeing. Banks is Banks. He's going to make occasional mistakes because of lateral quickness. And Pooney's a young guy who consistently is getting better, and he's going to have your ups and downs. This was a tough week for him, but it's always going to be ups and downs. But Brendel, we know what he is. We know what he's not. And I'm just hoping the 49ers can figure out how to help him out a lot, because right now he, to me, is the weak link on the offensive line. It doesn't mean they can't win with him, because they've already proven it, but I don't know where they go from here to make sure that this offensive line is better than it was last year.
Let me say this. Do you know how old Jake Brendel is?
I do not.
He's 32. How many 32-year offensive linemen get better?
Not very many.
Not very many. I try to be positive. I don't like being negative. And I put out film clips all the damn time. It's like all I do, I feel like. It's like 100 straight positive film clips. And so many times there'll be a negative, I won't post it. I won't post it because I don't want to draw negative attention. I got to my limit. I did this against Mike McGlinchey. And I put one out there and it got really, really popular. And I hated it. And I felt sick to my stomach. And I didn't like drawing negative attention to other people. I didn't like it. So I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I finally got fed up, and I was like, I'm going to do it again. And I was like, damn it, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. I do it. It catches on. KMBR put me on last night because of it. I didn't know that's why they put me on until I was on there, which was cool. But it was just like, gosh, man, I hate doing this. But it's so bad. Like, it's not like – it's awful. And I posted it on YouTube, and it got a lot of views. It's somebody that there's like a bunch of comments. One of the comments was Brendel is elite, right? And it put the translate to English tag underneath it. Google did. And somebody commented, your comment was so absurd. Google tried to translate it to English. Like, it's just getting comically bad. That's the point it's at. And I hope it changes. I don't put that out there to draw negative attention. I hope he makes all the money. I hope he becomes an all-pro player, whatever else. The odds are stacked. But the biggest reason why the 49ers offense, and you only scored 17 points, it's not CMC. It's not Ayuk. It is Jake Brendel. It's not Colton McKivitz. It's Jake Brendel. That needs to change. Shout out to my man Vince. Appreciate the super chat, my friend. Minnesota definitely underrated. D coordinator still learning. Will be one of the healthiest teams by week 6 or 7. Fingers crossed. All goals are still possible. 1,000% correct. And are we overreacting? Yeah, it happens. We're sports fans. It's what it is. So let's see here. We talked about the defensive coordinator. Let's talk about the health of the 49ers. I like this, Vince, because yesterday at practice, Debo's out. Everybody else full participant. Like, we are a healthy team, especially whenever you look at the Rams. This will transition us into the second part of the show. What's your status on the health of the 49ers team kind of holistically? I know CMC and Debo are out, but collectively, not too bad.
Yeah, it's not. And we've got players that are going to be coming back week 5, week 6. I mean, you've got an interior offensive lineman like John Feliciano who could come back as early as week 5. You've got Ricky Pearsall, who they had said before will be back week 5. So there are some players that are going to come in that are going to already fit right back into this, you know, offense and defense for the 49ers. And you look, and Talanoa Hufanga is coming back. So you're already getting an upgrade when it comes to the secondary. So the 49ers aren't that far off from being real healthy. Now, we don't know when McCaffrey's going to come back. But that thing could be a lot longer than just his, you know, 4 weeks on IR. We don't know. But Debo will be back in just a couple of weeks. And it just feels like, once again, it's almost like those Avengers assembling and everyone coming back. And it's going to help this team significantly. So right now I'm feeling pretty good about the injuries. I think that the way that it's playing out, the 49ers have the ability to overcome injuries. I don't think it's anything too significant. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about getting these guys back, especially guys like Feliciano. And you know, selfishly, I want to see Ricky Pearsall out there because he's a first round pick, and I want to see what he can do within this offense. And it'll be exciting when he gets out there.
Man, that I really hope that's at a home game. Well, let's see here the schedule, because I think he's going to dress, right? So yeah, that'd be against the Cardinals, which he's from Arizona. So that would be cool too. Home game against the Cardinals. Sunday, October 6th. Man, that's my wife's birthday. We'll be struggling to get to that game. But that's okay. She ain't going to go. But that's all right. Like, that's going to be a cool opportunity. Shout out to Kenny 49ers. He says, you know, this is true. Aren't we a team with no offensive coordinator and new DC every year? Seems that way. We've had Sala, D'Amico, Wilkes. We've had 4 in 8 years. Yeah, it seems that way. Our offensive coordinator is Kyle, which I'm cool with. Was Kyle great this last week? No. I don't think anybody's going to take that. But I'm not – Kyle's not a concern for me in play calling and offensive whatever. But, yeah, it does – the changes matter. And we always assume, oh, it's our scheme. We're going to run things the same. It's going to go okay. It's going to go okay. Not always the situation. Sadly, that's the way it is. Now, before we jump to our coaching adjustments we want made moving forward to the Rams, which I'm super excited about this one. Time to learn. Get out your notebooks. If you're going to bet this year, you know where to do it. My bookie, baby.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. All right, let's get to it, man. What are the coaching changes or adjustments, personnel, rotations, whatever? You got free reign. Take it away. What do you want to see change?
Well, I think that the first thing you got to realize right off the bat is this is a completely different roster and a completely different team and scheme that you're going to go against compared to Minnesota. So you're going to play it different. And I think that when you look at the 49ers, I think that they need to establish the run game on offense right off the bat. And I think this needs to go back to some of the things we've seen from the 49ers when they had Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. And let's get this ball rolling. Let's get a kick out on those edge defenders. Guys like Byron Young, you could take advantage of him out there in space. Go after Jared Verse and get them moving out. And then you can get that run game going just inside of that. I think that's going to be a huge part of this game plan. And I'd like to see the 49ers go back to using some play action. They're not using play action very often. I know that it was tough against Minnesota because they have so many different looks and they can come with blitzes, which can create negative plays. And I do believe that Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy in that offense came in and said, we're not going to create negative plays. That's one thing we're just not going to do. And I think that that has hurt them as far as the effectiveness they've had, because Purdy's big explosive plays a lot of times come out of play action looks. And I think that's going to benefit guys like George Kittle. That's going to benefit guys like Brandon Ayuk, where they can find space in the middle of the field. And it's generated by those linebackers stepping up and having that void in the middle of the field. And they didn't have huge voids. There was tight window throws last week. They need to get back to that. And I know Brock Purdy, it's not the most comfortable thing for him. He wants to be spread it out and look downfield. But I think it's the best thing for this 49ers offense. So I think that's what they need to get back to. Run the ball consistently, get ahead of the sticks, and then go to the play action where they can take advantage of this Rams defense, which doesn't generate a lot of pressure. Linebackers aren't very good, so if you get them to engage forward, you're going to have a lot of space. Safeties, you're going to have a young safety starting there. Cornerbacks are kind of beat up. This is a good time to take advantage of them offensively, and that's what I would do. Run the ball, play action. You should have some advantages down the field.
Yeah, play action. That was mine. We had three play action plays, and one of the biggest plays of the entire game versus the Vikings was a play action play. So get back to that. Now, the Rams don't blitz at all. And, you know, one thing, I've been going through Rams tape this year because they've got Shula as their DC. And I was like, man, how's he handling all this new personnel? That dude's in too high safety mode nonstop. And the 49ers checks are always like the Vikings. Shout out to Brian Flores. He completely controlled Kyle Shanahan, because the rules are that you teach Brock Purdy, oh, we got a too high whatever, we could check to a run. Single high safety, check to a pass. How many guys are in the box? How many guys on the line of scrimmage? If there's six on there and a single high safety, you check out of the run every time. So they would line up like that. We check out of the run. Then they'd adjust to a two high safety look. It was kind of like a gotcha moment. Rams are the most – here's what's crazy. I think the 49ers are probably one of the simplest schemes defensively in the NFL. They have been. This kind of hybrid Seattle cover three that has permeated the league with Saleh and whatever else. Gus Bradley, you go, there's so many names you can throw out. It's always been a simplistic scheme. I feel like the Rams scheme is even simpler than ours. So they don't hide what they do. Shell coverage, keep everything underneath. And if they're going to sit in too high safety looks the whole game, which they've done against us, man, you better run that damn ball. And if you run the ball and you can establish that, there the play action comes. So last week we did three play actions. Is there a number, like, how many play action calls do you want in this game? If you could pick a number, Ant, we did this many. Last week was three, a little low. You want to double it, triple it? Kind of where are you at with that?
Yeah, I would triple it. I think that I would get anywhere between 8 to 10 play action looks. I'm hoping that the 49ers have established the run enough that they're really gashing them in the run game. I mean, the Rams are giving up 5.5 yards per carry on the ground. That's ridiculous. The 49ers are one of the best running teams in the league, and they only average 4.5 yards per carry on the ground. So this is an opportunity for the 49ers to go impose will, get these offensive linemen moving forward, and then come with some play action that keeps the pressure off the offensive line. No normal pass sets. Just make it a lot easier. An old school Kyle Shanahan, run the football 35 times down their throat, complete pivotal passes with Brock Purdy, and just take advantage of the fact that you're a lot better than they are. And I think that's what they need to go back to, kind of go back to the roots and play an old school football game. And I think the 49ers can do it.
I like that. Bobo, shout out to Bobo, says Kyle Shanahan should run more is right. Doing a shotgun pass on third and one is ridiculous. I don't believe in third and one on the goal line being in shotgun ever. If you're going, you either go empty or you create the illusion of the run, period. And so, like, my favorite play in all of football is running the ball on third down. I don't care if it's third and six. Like, running the ball in situations where you're going to have a light box, especially if you're in a four down territory. But, yeah, under center, I'm with you, Bobo. You're not by yourself. You are not by yourself at all on that one. So I had the play action. I had to stop the stunts, which you talked about. I want more safe coverage over the top to where we're not giving up those. That 97, there were two plays that kind of broke the backs of the 49ers, the 97-yard touchdown play and the blocked punt. You eliminate one or both of those, it's a whole different game, and you can do the same thing on the other side and the chaos theory, whatever. I don't care about that. I want cover two, cover six. Like, whenever we're in cover two high safeties, I feel safe. I feel safe. And we're only bringing four anyway. It's not like we're blitzing. So, like, why are we doing single high and not blitzing? You know, like, that's why teams run a cover one, and so they can bring five or six. We don't do that. We run cover one, which puts us in kind of an aggressive, we can give up a big play, but we don't get any pressure. We just stun our D linemen. So it's kind of a convoluted, I want more cover two, cover six type coverages. I don't know why we're not doing that much. We used to, but yeah, that's what it is. So, all right, I'm going to turn it back over to you. What's another adjustment you want to do?
Yeah, I think that, you know, first off, I think in this matchup, they got to vary their looks when it comes to third down. I think when they get to third and long, they've got to at least make Matthew Stafford think that they're doing something they're not. And, you know, Johnny Dell came in here earlier and talked about the fact that they need to look like they're running man and then run zone. And that's exactly what they need to do. They did it to Jared Goff last year. Steve Wilks did a great job in the second half adjusting to that. And they got Goff off his game and had some pivotal big third down and fourth down stops. I think that's something they need to add in. I also want to see them, and I know this wouldn't be the normal week you do it, but I think it's time for the 49ers to show a lot more aggressiveness on third down and be willing to show an exotic look and bring an exotic blitz. Right now, there hasn't been anything exotic about anything they've done blitz-wise, which I am completely shocked about because I thought that was going to be a staple. We saw some of it in training camp. We just haven't seen that filter into the games yet. You've got a statue in the back in Matthew Stafford. Go get him. There is no reason this week that you can't play tight coverage on the outside and absolutely go after Matthew Stafford, make a statement, and start imposing will on defense. Right now, we're letting the game come to us on defense. Let's start bringing the game to everybody else the way that we just saw Brian Flores do it. It's in a different manner, but it's the attitude of 49ers in 2019 were an aggressor. Everything was put pressure on the quarterback, be aggressive, fly upfield and make plays. I'd like to see a little bit of a return to that.
Man, we were blitzing the nickels nonstop in training camp. Like the first full padded practice, it was nickel blitz, safety blitz, nickel blitz. Like you look at this game, D'Amador Lenore went once. Devontae Campbell went once on that stupid Nick Bosa drop into the coverage play. That was like it. That was it. Like, it's not like you're playing somebody that's amazing against the pass and you're doing cover one. Don't do cover one and not blitz. Shout out to my man Phil. Appreciate the super chat. He says hashtag TCC, hashtag CC, Seattle Niner faithful. Sorry I'm late, dude. You never have to apologize for anything, Phil. You are the best of all of us. Such a good dude. Big Papa. He says 2023, 2024, both seen. We've had a hard time getting off on third and long, which seems weird. Why? One, we run a shell coverage. I talked about this on Wayne's show. The philosophical concept of this shell coverage is, look, you might convert a third down against us on a drive. It might be a third and long. What we will not do is give up the super long play, which is ironic whenever you look at the 97-yard touchdown. But I digress. This is the philosophy. You might be able to convert one third and long against us. Can you convert three of them in one drive consecutively? Sam Darnold did it twice, two separate drives in the fourth quarter, and ate our lunch. So our philosophy works if you only give up one out of three. Instead, we're giving up, what, 60%? So like three out of five? That's the problem. So it's okay if they get one. If they get two, now they're in scoring range. They get three, they're getting a touchdown. So I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying that is the philosophy behind this kind of cover four palms, Seattle cover three hybrid. I don't even know what we call this defense anymore, Ant. What would you classify this coverage defensive scheme as? A 4-2-5 that bends and doesn't break.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. With more teams running, and this week it's going to be all 11 personnel from the Rams. I mean, 98% right now that they're lining up and running 11 personnel. It's ridiculous. Last year, I think it was like 93% for the entire season. They're going to line you up in nickel, and that's actually a great situation for the 49ers. No DFF on the field, a lot of Diamond Lenore and Isaac Yedem. And I know Isaac Yedem didn't play great last week. He definitely had some mistakes, and he's got to get more in tune with what he's supposed to do. But I don't think we're going to see the same looks from the Rams. But I do think McVay's going to have a couple things to dial up. He always does something unique that we haven't seen yet. But I like that alignment for the 49ers a lot more. And let's be aggressive. And, someone brought up in chat, and I missed who it was, about Huff adding to exotic looks. He will. He's a phenomenal blitzer. He's going to be able to help bring pressure on the quarterback. So I like that. Demo and maybe Huff kind of coming in some pressure looks where we drop guys out. I do think they're still trying to figure out what exactly Devondre Campbell is really good at when it comes to coverage. He had a couple of mishaps in this game as well. So I think they're figuring things out, but it's time to start bringing pressure. It's time to start getting after the quarterback. And I think this is the week to do it.
Yeah. Shout out to Faithful and Grateful. That was the one that came up with that comment. Will said, I want Huff to just go Huff. I want that dude on the line of scrimmage. This might take him some time to get back, but I've said since the beginning, this is the game he's coming back. You wait till that first divisional game. He knows this offense. Like, he's ready. He's going to be able to use the instincts. That's what makes him what he is. Is he going to be perfect? I don't think so. I really, really don't. Right here, Kenny. Aunt John, our great DCs decided not to come to San Francisco because of Kyle? I don't think so. The problem was we're in the Super Bowl. All the other DC jobs were filled before we played the Super Bowl. So then Super Bowl ends, you choose to get rid of Wilkes, which I think was decided after that Detroit NFC Championship game, but you're not going to fire a DC heading in the Super Bowl. So then the problem was, man, who are you going to get? They literally reached out to the Chiefs about trading for Steve Spagnuolo. Like, that was kind of the territory they were in. So you had to kind of promote from within because there was nobody else available. And one of my biggest critiques of the NFL, Kitty, is teams that win consistently in the playoffs, a la the 49ers, you're not getting the opportunity to go after quality coaches because everybody's making their coaching hires before the championship games. I really don't like the way that it is. I don't like the way it's set up. So I don't know. What would you say here?
I think part of it too is, they've built this team with a certain look personnel wise. It's built for a 4-3. And I think some of the defensive coordinators that have been available that were really good don't exactly fit that. Vic Fangio wanted to make, wholesale changes. So you can't go with Vic. And, that
hasn't Miami worked out anywhere he's gone, by the
right.
way.
Right. And the Miami Dolphins team was built more for a 3-4 anyway. So that made more of a natural fit. And so now you kind of go back to what you were doing already and you bring in Nick Sorensen, who's been in the building. And there's something about people you have more trust. And John, this, as a head coach and as a coordinator, you want to have people with you trust. So if you have somebody that you've worked with for 3 years and they've done a good job, you're more willing to go with them other than somebody that you just met that you maybe think is probably close to the same. Like, let's just promote from within. This is the evil I know compared to the evil I don't. And I think that's what they've been consistently, and it's worked out for the most part for Kyle. And so I think that's what he's trying to do here with the defensive coordinator.
Dude, shout out to Kenny. Very active in the chat. Love all the questions. He says, understood. Everything I know is because of you guys. Thank you. Kenny's smart because he follows 49ers Cutback. And I don't care where you are. You need to go subscribe. It's the show I listen to more than anything else, and it helps me learn. So whenever you have guys that have coached and been behind the scenes and, develop scheme and all that stuff, you just see things different. Not that that's a knock on anybody else, But I think that it's a very unique perspective that Ant brings to this. So if you haven't yet, please go check out 49ers Cutback, wherever it is you watch, listen, whatever. He's got Madden simulations every week, previews day before the game, post-game live shows. Go subscribe. That's what it is. So, all right, Ant, let's do this. This is our cleanup time of the show. What is it that maybe we haven't said just yet that we need to talk about before we close out?
I think it's just that the 49ers need to get back to what they do. You know, I think last week was a little bit of an anomaly as far as the defense you're going to see. And I've seen a lot of people putting out there that you have, you know, Flores and Spagnuolo, and they're talking about the different defenses. But really, this is a complete unicorn, what Brian Flores does compared to even Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo's defense is different. Spagnuolo's defense has more rules. It's more structured. Brian Flores did some of the most unique things in this game that I've seen as far as personnel all over the place. It takes years to put this thing together to get the right personnel. And so I think everyone's just going to kind of relax a little bit and see how we handle a team now that we really recognize. The next few weeks, I think, are going to be important for the 49ers, just getting back to the way they go about football. And I think it's going to get a lot easier for Brock Purdy too. The reads are going to get simpler. You're going to get some different looks. So it was just a perfect storm. Minnesota, give them credit. They're a good football team. Brian Flores is a great defensive coordinator who's finally got all the tools that he needs to make it really work, and they did a good job against the 49ers, so credit to them. But you're not going to see Brian Flores every time, and I'm not even saying that if you've got Minnesota in San Francisco that it would be the same outcome, because all of a sudden it's different crowd noise. You can go with more checks, more emotions, more movement. Maybe it helps you out a little bit. So, but yeah, it was an interesting game.
Yeah, and sometimes, man, like, this is just the NFL. Like, people don't understand. Like, things got to go your way sometimes. And off a short week, on the road, one of the most hostile environments I've ever been a part of. I cannot say this enough. If you are a diehard football fan, your bucket list number one should be go to a game at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's my favorite place I've ever watched a football game. I have coached, played, and been to as a fan. So many. It freaking snows in there, Ant. It snows in the stadium. I'm not even joking. Literally snows. It's just so cool. That Skull chant, their fans, incredible, man. I saw so many, what's his name? Harrison, the defensive lineman jerseys. It was just like, oh, man, I love this place. Like, whenever I see a D lineman jersey, like a defensive tackle, it's just like, yeah, Aaron Donald, JJ Watt, whatever. No. It was awesome, man. I love that place. So you take your lumps, you move on, you put us on a neutral site. I'd love to play the Vikings again. Does Shanahan struggle against great DCs? Yeah. Guess what? That's why they're great DCs, is because people struggle against them. Did Shanahan have a good game? He did not. He did not. Does he bear some of this responsibility? You bet your rear end he does. He sucked on third down. He sucked on short yardage. Major issues. However, you look at the track record, that's why it's a little bit different. You know Shanahan's going to get it figured out. So we'll see what that is. Oh, we got Jim Everett in the chat. What's up, man? Appreciate you. He says, Rams 27, no quarterback, 49ers 22. That is awesome, man. I'm pulling for you, buddy. And if that does happen, congratulations. You'll still be 1-2? Like, that's good, what you're hoping for. I'm excited for the Rams. That's good, man. That's good. Anyway, that's going to do it for us here. And I want to update the name poll just so everybody knows. 49ers coach approach currently at 93% of the votes. So not that I'm going to call it early. We're not stop to count people. I'm going to let this sucker roll for 24 hours. We'll see what that is. But Ant, you are incredible. Really do appreciate you. And any last words before we head out of here?
Go Niners. Levi South is going to be rocking, and the 49ers need a big win over a division rival, and they're going to get it.
Dude, I lived in Pasadena, so I lived in Los Angeles for 6 years. I never saw a Rams fan in the wild. Never saw. They don't exist. It's like the mythical Bigfoot. Like, okay, that's cool. There's some pictures out there, and they all have brand new uniforms on, but then you go to like Levi's, and there's a few of them, which is cool. Man, shout out that. I hope Jim Everett, I know there's no night like Rams podcast out there. I know that's not a thing. You have to have fans listen to it, but like, we're glad you're here, bro. Best luck to you this Sunday. I hope it goes well. For everybody else, you're the absolute best. And as always, stay strong, faithful.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.